Is there anything that you can think of that I haven't asked you about, or things that you'd like to put on that tape?
Well, they built this road here in 1930, which made it a lot better. Before it was dusty, you know, it was terrible dusty. And of course, the road is a little different than it used to be. You know, it zigzags up here at Cuneo's. The road went right by the house, right near the house. And then followed along and then went up the hill to the right of the present road. And then came out on the top where Blackman's place is, where that stone house is.
Oh, yes.
And then it followed pretty much the main road. But mud, you never saw so much mud this way.
Well, you must have started out with horse and wagon when you...
Oh, I didn't know. We did a lot of walking. When we lived at the brick house, we didn't have a car. And we used to walk everywhere. Then finally, when we moved up here, well, my father did buy a car. He bought a Studebaker.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, little. And then he graduated from that. He spent too much money on it, so he traded that in, bought a Model T Ford, brand new one, and got it down to Winsted. And then used that for a while, and finally sold that. Then we didn't have any car. We moved up here. We didn't have a car. So in 1930, I bought a Model A Ford, my own. But before that, I had three or four Model Ts that we used to run up and down the road with all the time.
So you started driving pretty young.
Oh, yeah.
How young?
About 12.
12, yeah, same 12, here.
12, 13.
Yeah.
So I bought my first car for $15, Model T, and it ran. It was real.
Oh, they were good. Yeah, it was real.
Sure. Then I had three or four given to me. And, I had a roadster in Rumsey, and it was given to me. We had to go down and get it down the White Hollow Road. We towed it home. That was in the 30s, because I had a car then, so we towed it home. Took it all apart, got it running, and got rid of it. Just threw it in the dump.
Should have held on to it.
Oh, I know. cars were... I was saying, 1930, I bought a Model A Ford. I paid $550.
In what year?
1930. In 1931, I swapped that one in for another $150, got a brand new car. But I was making 19 cents an hour.
19 cents an hour? Yeah. In 1930, 31.
1930, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see, 19 cents an hour. About roughly $2 a day. Yeah, about $12 a week or something.
Yeah.
That's what I was working for.
Well, when I built this house here in 1936, I was working up with General Gibbs's. I was getting 35 cents an hour, and that's all I got. And I tried to raise a family, and to build this house, you know, and tried to live.
Do you think that, of course, the hourly wage is better today, but do people live better today than they did then? And I'm talking about in overall living, in fun, in learning, and physically, every way.
Well, with today's wages, you can buy a lot more than you could then, but the thing's more expensive. But you can afford. Seems to me you can afford to buy things, whereas you couldn't at that time.
But what about the quality of living? Is it more fun today to be alive than it was, or did you have more fun in those days?
Well, I worked all the time, so I don't know.
you always had to know.
I always had to work. You know, I worked I worked up there at Joe Gibbs's, and I came home and start working here in the house and digging. And,
Did you ever participate in any community activities, or meetings, or anything of that kind?
We had a men's club at one time. It lasted for about 2 years, I guess. And the Robinsons were, Mr. Robinson was a papermaker. came over from England. And he had two sons and a son-in-law. And they ran the paper mill down here for Dyer Hunter. And they brought them over here on a pretext that they would be part owners in the mill eventually. But things went sour, so they didn't even get all their money. They lost all their wages money, I'll say. And so then he was an organizer when he came from England, and so we started this men's club. And we used to put on little skits and things down to school.
Oh, you did?
And it was fun. You know.
Did you participate
in it? Oh, yeah. Sure.
You were an actor.
Yeah, I was an actor.
What kind of skits did you do?
Whatever we think up, we'd say.
Oh, you make them up yourself?
Yeah,
about your own lives?
Yeah, whatever, you know.
Songs?
Songs, we used to sing. You know.
Very good. And that went kaput, didn't it?
Didn't last long.
Too bad.
Yeah, I know.
What year, approximately?
Well, that was early 1930.
Oh, wow. As early as that?
Yeah. I think even they came over here in 1928, to start working in the paper mill.
Where was the paper mill?
It was in where the carpenter shop used to be.
Oh, yes.
That was part of that there. They changed things around. And everything was in there. They used to use the generator from. They used to let the water out of the dam to run the generator or whatever you want to call it. And that used to run all the machinery. Mm-hmm. They had belts and things to run different like cutting up the rags, grinding up the rags, and the paddles that they used to use to mix up the rags and the water and stuff.
That dam above the blocks there, what was that used for?
That was just a spare. Those were spares. Well, the second one was used to feed the furnace there, to the smelter. That used to run the blowers and things for that. And the upper dam was just a reservoir. In case they needed water, they let it out of there, and then it would run down to the next one. And that was right from here. There was a pond here too, and when there's a pipe that goes from here to that place down in case of fire. In case of fire, this was always kept for fire. So there's enough fall from here down to the furnace, so they used to get enough pressure to use for that. The pipe is still underground.
Still underground. So, coming back then, what about life here today as compared, in your opinion?
Everybody does their own thing. No, nobody seems...
People don't work together?
No, not really. No.
There was more community.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. More than now.
What changed that?
Everybody has their car, one goes one way, one goes another. You want to go to Poughkeepsie, or you want to go to Great Barrington, or Torrington, or Waterbury. So you just...
Nobody gets together to put skits on.
Not really. In fact, people are friendly, but, you don't get together at all.
That's interesting.
I don't know. You must feel the same way.
There's no doubt that there's certainly a... My impression is there were a lot more cultural activities. It's not like somebody coming to do a concert, but where you put on your own things.
If you want it, that's right. If you get people interested to help you out, fine.
How about town hall meetings? Were there town hall meetings down here in Lime Rock?
No, because everything was town of Salisbury. This is town of Salisbury.
Oh, so the town hall meetings were there. Did you ever go to them?
I never.
Did they ever pass any regulations or rules that affected you?
That's what I know.
Not that, yeah.
I know when I, this garage that I have out here was up on the hill up here, and I had it moved down here, and had to go get a permit to get it down here. So when they were building the foundation, the fellow that moved it didn't want to move it down here until we had a foundation, because he didn't want to bring the building here and then leave it all jacked up and then come back another day. So of course the inspector would come down and check, you know, all the time. So I said, what are you doing here? Well, check it for what? I said, do you pay the taxes here? No. I said, do you own this land? No. I said, what are you doing here? I said, you ain't got no business here. I said, you don't see me go up to your house. I said, I don't even know where you live. I said, I wouldn't go up to your house and ask you what you're doing up there. So, they came and measured and everything else, make sure we had plenty. I said, Christ, I got plenty of room.
And yet at one time you could move whatever you wanted.
You could do whatever you wanted. If you wanted to build a house out there, right out there right now, you could build it. You know, nobody'd say anything.
Now today you need a certain amount of acreage.
Oh yeah, well sure. Well, like when I built this house, I didn't have to have anything. Just started to date, and that was it.
What else can you remember? Anything come to your mind that we haven't covered?
Let me shut that off for a minute, see.
Oh, sure.
Up on the mountain there by the racetrack, they used to cut wood there. And they'd cut it 4 foot, and that was for charcoal. And they'd cut the wood, and then they'd let it season, and they'd stack it all up, and then they'd make charcoal out of it. Then they'd haul the charcoal down here and put it in sheds down here. And they had high wagons. They must have been 12 feet high, I guess. And huge, big wagons. And they used to go under my mother's clothesline. Well, my mother used to ball info us out.
What was the charcoal used for?
Well, for the smelter.
Oh, for the smelter, yeah.
For the smelter. Did you use that? No.
How many horses did it take to pull away?
Two. Well, charcoal was light.
Light.
So they didn't need much. And then one of the men that were hauling the wood out up there was picking the wood up, and he thought he got a sliver in his finger or something. Well, finally, we got down near the bottom. Here was a rattlesnake in the pile of wood. Well, then he started to wonder whether he got stung or whether he got pricked by the wood. Come to find out, he got bit by the rattlesnake. So he ran. There were all French people lived up on the top up there on the mountain. So he ran up there, and they told this woman that the rattlesnake had bit him. She put him in the wagon and brought him to Salisbury to go to the doctor, and he died on the way.
Sure, yeah. They didn't even...
He didn't know that he got bit. He just figured he got... But then when he got near the bottom, he figured, well, the snake must have bit him, you know. But they, you couldn't see anything.
But they didn't cut it drain it.
Didn't do anything.
What happened to these French people? That's interesting. Where did they go? Are they still around here?
No, I don't think so. Up on the mountain, they have a clay bed that's up on the top of Sharon Mountain. Did you ever hear of that? It's white clay. And they had a pipe from the top of the mountain up there all the way down to West Carmel. They used to make pottery there from this clay that they got up there. And we went up there to get some clay, and we could still see the pipe. It was a wooden pipe bound with steel, just like a barrel. And then all the way from up on the top of that mountain, they used to run it down with water. Slush it down with water.
And it went to Cornwall.
It went all the way to Cornwall. And as you go to Cornwall, on the back road, do you know the back road to West Cornwall along the river?
Road? Oh, sure.
There's a place where there's footings across the river. You must have seen them.
I know just where you mean.
Well, there was a bridge across there.
Uh-huh.
And that pipe came right across that bridge, and then it went south down the road. As you go down that way, maybe in a half a mile or something like that, maybe a quarter of a mile, there's a foundation right along the track.
I have to watch for that. Yeah,
and that was where the factory was.
There was a pottery factory.
Used to make dishes from that clay up there. And that clay is just as white as snow.
Is there still clay up there?
You
can still see it up there.
There's a pond. There's a pond up in there now. You can go down the White Hollow Road and walk that way.
Yeah.
Have you been up on top?
Yeah.
Never seen the pond that's up there?
Don't think I ever.
It's on the right hand side of the road.
I must observe it. You have to look for these things sometimes. Yeah. You don't know.
And then if you keep on going, you come out on the Route 7.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
the bottom
right.
of the hill there.
Yeah, I've often gone that way.
Yeah.
So the pottery factory was in Cornwall.
These French people, there were French people all over up there. There are houses. There's foundations all over up there, you know, up on the top of that mountain. And there were an awful lot of French people came. I came to Canada. I don't know, to cut wood. And they used to cut wood all the time. They cut that whole mountain, that whole range of mountains there, all belonged to the Barber Witches.
Yeah, it must have been Canadian French. There were a lot of them in Vermont. Probably the same. They'd build little shacks.
You go up there, and you see lilacs all over. You see groups of lilacs, you know, here, there. There were houses around any place where you see lilacs there. There were houses up in there.
How did the French and the Polish and the Italians get along?
They got along fine.
Everybody got along fine.
They had Germans.
Friendly.
Germans here too. They all
the intermarriage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Everything. Isn't that nice?
There were some disputes, you know, like every place else.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And people get mad at one another, but normally things have worked out pretty well. Do you know Bart Parati?
Which one?
Bart Parati.
Is he
in Salisbury? No.
Oh no, no, I don't know him. No. Is he part of the whole Parati family?
Well, no. This is a different Parati.
Oh, different. Yeah. No, I don't know.
He lived in back of Stabers. There's a small house in back of Stabers.
Where is that? The Macmillan house?
No, another one. There's another one. He lived in there.
What's his first name again?
Bart.
B-A-R-T?
B-A-R-T, yeah. Uh-huh. He used to work for Mill Mines. And then now Mill Mines, of course, died, so he lives in Salisbury now by himself.
Uh-huh. What did he do here?
Well, he just grew up here. That's all.
He grew up here.
He went to Hartford finally, and he worked for a newspaper there in Hartford.
Oh.
And then he came back here, and he worked for the Mill Mines, and he worked out there for... I don't know how many years, 45 years, something like that. And so now he's living in Salisbury.
Did his father and mother here before?
Well, his father and mother were here.
Oh, so he was born here.
He was. I don't know if he was born here or not, but he lived around here. Well, you're talking about arguments. My uncle used to go with one of the Sandy girls. And this man that was boarding with the Parentonis was going with her too. So they got jealous. Well, this one night, he got the shotgun out. And he saw this person walking. He thought it was my uncle. Shot Mark's mother and killed her.
Mm.
Of course, they had a trial, but I don't know. I really don't know what happened.
I was
too small to understand it. But so this is one of the arguments that people get into. You know, as a whole, I mean, everybody go along all right.
Well, what they do when they got together? They all speak different languages, or
well. most everybody could speak English, some English, so they spoke English.
Oh, so English.
So English was the dominant thing.
Yeah.
But if you ran into a Frenchman, I suppose you spoke French, or Italian, you spoke Italian. But I know all the Italian people always spoke Italian.
Uh-huh.
Everybody. Uh-huh. They never spoke English, not unless they had to.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Were there evening schools for adults? Anything?
I didn't know of any. I didn't know. They may have had them, but I didn't. I didn't ever know about them.
Right.
I don't think my father went to any. He finally learned to.
So he just picked up his English through
just
meeting
working,
people
being,
and
working.
Working
though.
Yeah.
I know he used to love to read the paper. That's all. My mother too. I mean, she wasn't that studious, but she got so she could read the paper and enjoyed it to a point.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to Italy?
Yes, I went there in 1922.
To Milano, relatives?
Yeah, we went to, we went above Milano, where my father and mother came from. Castione, a place called Castione. And that's where they came from. And they were, my father and mother were neighbors.
What they do back, the families do there, were they farmers in that area, or was there industry?
I really don't know what their business was. My father's father always had a store, sold bread, wine, and so on and so forth. And I did meet my mother's father and my father's father.
Oh.
And but you know, I was only 9 years old, so you know, you don't take that much interest in anything. If you brought me to Italy right now, I could go from there to Lago di Garda or anywhere around there, because I can still see it right now. I mean, I can go any of these places by myself.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're 9 years old, you know.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Did you know Andy Casali?
I did know him, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know him. I didn't know him well, but I knew him.
I worked with him.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah, that was too bad.
Yeah, we're very close friends with his wife.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
The son is now 6'2".
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him for a long time.
He's at Bridgeport University doing very well. He's got a very good mind.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. So he's going to be a teacher? Or?
No, he's going to be an electronics, kind of an electronics engineer.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's real nice. Well, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Okay, or anything else occur to you that
not really.
Okay. All right.